ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் அக்ஞான திமிரந்தஸ்ய ஜனஞ்சான சலக்கய சக்ஷுரும் மிலிதம் யேன தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குரவே நம. நம ஓம் விஷ்ணு பதாய கிருஷ்ண பிரஸ்தாய பூத்தலே ஸ்ரீமாதே பக்தி வேதாந்த சுவாமினிதி நமினே. நமஸ்தே சரஸ்வதி தேவே கௌரவாணி பிரச்சாரிணே நிர்விசேஷூன்யவாதி பஷ்சதி ஆதேசதாரிணே. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 5, entitled Lord Rishabhadev's Teachings, Text Number 16. Lokasvayam Shrejasi Nashtadrishtir Yortan Samiheta Nikama Kama அஞ்சோஞ்ச வைரா சுக்கலேஷேதோர் அனந்த துக்கம் ச ந வேதமுதா. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Loka, people, Svayam, personally, Shreyasi, of the path of auspiciousness, Nashtadrishti, who have lost sight, Yaha, who, Artan, things meant for sense gratification, Samiheta, desire, Nikama Kama, having too many lusty desires for sense enjoyment, Anyonya Vaira, being envious of one another, Sukkalesha Heto, simply for temporary material happiness. Ananta dukkam, unlimited sufferings. Cha, also. Na, do not. Veda, no. Muda, foolish. Due to ignorance, the materialistic person does not know anything about his real self-interest, the auspicious path in life. He is simply bound to material enjoyment by lusty desires, and all his plans are made for this purpose. For temporary sense gratification, such a person creates a society of envy, and due to this mentality, he plunges into the ocean of suffering. Such a foolish person does not even know about this. Purport. The word Nashta Drishti, meaning one who has no eyes to see the future, is very significant in this verse. Life goes on from one body to another, and the activities performed in this life are enjoyed or suffered in the next life, if not later in this life. One who is unintelligent, who has no eyes to see the future, simply creates enmity and fights with others for sense gratification. As a result, one suffers in the next life. But due to being like a blind man, he continues to act in such a way that he suffers unlimitedly. Such a person is a muddha, one who simply wastes his time and does not understand the Lord's devotional service. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.25, Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita mudoyam na vijanati lokomam ajam avyayam. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my external creative potency, yoga maya, and so the deluded world knows me not, who am unborn and infallible. In the Katha Upanishad, it is also said, avidyayam antare vartamanak svayam dhira panditam manjamana. Although ignorant, people still go to other blind men for leadership. As a result, both are subjected to miserable conditions. The blind lead the blind into the ditch. Lokasvayam shreyasi nashta drishtir yortansamiheta nikama kama anyonja vairak sukkalesha hetor anantadukkam chanaveda muddha. Due to ignorance, the materialistic person does not know anything about his real self-interest, the auspicious path in life. He is simply bound to material enjoyment by lusty desires, and all his plans are made for this purpose. For temporary sense gratification, such a person creates a society of envy, and due to this mentality, he plunges into the ocean of suffering. Such a foolish person does not even know about this. Hare Krishna, I'm very happy to be back in Radhadesh after 2 long months of separation. Of course, when you are traveling and preaching, you don't have much time to think. But Radhadesh actually is such a unique, wonderful community. Last night when I was listening to the bhajans in the evening, it is so nice, the beautiful atmosphere created by the devotees singing together the glories of the Lord. And sometimes you go to temples where you don't find so many devotees on a daily basis. You visit places where there are, in the morning program, right, Tadavit Prabhu, you are traveling around sometimes, some places, 5, 10 devotees, 7, 8. Sometimes you may get 3, 4, if you're lucky, the pujari, and 2 or 3 more, isn't it? But here there is hearing and chanting together the glories of the Lord, and this makes this community a very special community. Also another element is that in this community, envy, I mean, I will not say does not exist, maybe I don't want to create a new utopia, but the mood, there is a mood of non-envy, there is a mood of service among devotees. Or at the very least, there is a respectful mood among devotees. And this is very important, to have a respectful service mood to one another. In today's verse, Maharaj Rishabhadev is contrasting the society of devotees with the materialistic society. Of course, he's speaking only about materialistic persons, but we say he is contrasting because he's using the term, because we are talking about the society of devotees, he's using the term anyonya vaira, meaning envious to one another. In the society of devotees, there is no envy to one another. Only there may be envy among neophytes. Neophyte devotees may envy other devotees sometimes. Madhyamadikaris, they do not envy anybody. What to speak of envying devotees? Madhyamadikaris, they avoid envious people to protect themselves from their own seed of envy. Because still they consider, they know, I'm not yet completely cured, so I'm still susceptible to become infected. Actually, they do not consider themselves free from envy, so they are very careful to avoid envious people and to get entangled into their attitudes or their dealings. Therefore, certain distance will be kept from those who are envious. And if we see that a neophyte devotee manifests envy, the approach should be a compassionate approach. And if necessary, keep also healthy distance. If we see that we're going to become contaminated by that. So, in today's verse, Maharaj Rishabhadev is speaking about a very important topic which comes back again and again throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is a topic of the highest welfare in life, Shreyas. Actually, this is one of the questions asked by the sages of Naimisaranya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi, to Sutta Goswami in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. And they ask 6 questions, and one of the questions, actually the first question, is about what is the greatest welfare for humanity? Shreyas. As opposed to prayas. Shreyas means ultimate welfare, real welfare. Prayas means temporary welfare, superficial benefit, like that benefit of serving the bodies of other people. Of course, to serve others is a pious action, but it is important to know how to best serve others. The best service is to care for their shreyas, the greatest welfare. Greatest welfare means the ultimate benefit of the soul. His Holiness Hanumat Preshak Maharaj is visiting Spain now in the Spanish college we opened this year. Maharaj will come here after from Spain to Radadesh at the end of the month. And he was speaking about how Srimad Bhagavatam is like a spiral. The teachings of the Bhagavatam, they are transmitted in a spiral way. It means that the Bhagavatam comes back again and again to the same teachings. There is constant repetition at different levels, but the idea is to help us to remember Krishna. That's the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Here Maharaj Sri Shabadev is repeating the same that was spoken by Sutta Goswami to the sages of Naimisharanya. What is the greatest welfare? Who remembers the reply of Sutta Goswami to that question? Any of you who studied the first canto must know that, meaning who studied systematically. Harikata, certainly, Harikata is there, is mentioned, correct. There is a very famous verse on the second chapter of the Bhagavatam describing the highest occupational duty. Always remembering Krishna, that's correct. Harikata, always remembering Krishna is related to it, certainly. What is the best occupation for a human being? Hearing and chanting, certainly. Okay, to serve devotees who are not envious, that's correct also. It's on the same section, but before that, Sutta Goswami, the verse starts with the word sa. To please the Lord Hari, yes, it's in that section also, in that chapter. It's there. Savai. Yat. So what's the translation? Uninterrupted, the highest engagement, the highest occupation is para-bhakti, pure devotional service. Ahaitukiya pratihata bhakti, which is that service which is offered in a selfless attitude and in a continuous way, without interruption. Ahaitukiya pratihata. Yayatma suprasidati. This is the highest welfare activity because atma suprasidati, the self becomes satisfied. If we want to make someone happy, we want to benefit someone, then we need to engage that person or help that person to voluntarily engage in devotional service. Then that person will feel satisfied. And the result will be that that person will be experiencing the highest benefit, the highest happiness. Premapu marto mahan. The supreme goal of life is pure love of Godhead. So Maharaj Sri Shabadev is repeating the same principle, and this principle was spoken previously. Actually, Shukadeva Goswami is explaining it to Maharaj Parikshit. So the same principle is repeated again and again. He's explaining it by referring to what Maharaj Sri Shabadev presented to his sons. And Srila Prabhupada explains in a later purport that actually these instructions are meant not just for Maharaj Sri Shabadev's sons, who were actually very educated, and they, in one way, they didn't need to be reminded, in one way. They already knew. Nine of Maharaj Sri Shabadev's sons became the great sages, Navayogendras, described in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the other sons, they were very realized, like Maharaj Bharata. They were very, very realized, very advanced. Srila Prabhupada says that these teachings are meant for those who are on the path of renunciation. Actually, for those who are on the path of a spiritual life. It is a reminder. We need to be reminded. And the teachings are very, in one way we could say, The teachings are very basic in one way. Very basic and yet very profound. And yet the essence of life. In the beginning of the chapter, in the beginning of his instructions, Maharaj Rishabhadev explains what human life is not meant for. It is interesting the approach of the devotee preachers in the Bhagavatam. Many times they say what human life is not meant for. Human life is not meant for sense gratification, which is available for materialistic people. Also, Sri Shukadeva Goswami, when responding to Maharaj Pariksit's seminal question of the Bhagavatam, what is the seminal question of the Bhagavatam, the seed question? Mark? Yes, very good. What is the duty of a human being? And especially, what is the duty of the human being who is about to die? And then he asks, what should that human being think about? What should he hear about? What should he remember? To whom should he worship? And also what he should not do. And Sri Shukadeva Goswami starts replying to the question by saying what the human being should not do. So Maharaj Rishabhadev, he is also explaining in a similar way why these great devotees are speaking in this way, what we should not do. What do you think? Why they are speaking? Why they don't just talk about Krishna? Why they should be so negative? Talk about, let's be positive. Positive thinking. We should have positive thinking. Tathavit Prabhu? Okay, so they tell us because they know that we will not be happy if we do it good. That's a good point. Shri Shri Radha Gopinatha Ki Jai. Other points? Jai Gopal Prabhu? To expose our material consciousness, yes, they know we have that consciousness is there to a certain extent. Any other thoughts? To avoid to put water on the fire. Okay. Okay, good. Both analogies are good. Fuel, what you said, to put fuel into the fire of material life. So by engaging our bodies, words, and minds into sense gratification, then we are feeding the fire of material existence. And that fire of material existence is very painful, produces pain, actually. But also, to avoid throwing water on top of the fire of devotional service. There are two types of fires. There is the fire of material existence, which is very, very burning, and there is the fire of Krishna consciousness, which is actually a cooling fire. It's a multi-purpose fire. It can heat when we are cold. We can feel the warmth of serving Krishna, and also it's cooling when the fire of material existence is very strong, then it cools down that fire. Like, for example, we read in Krishna book that there was the fight between Krishna and Lord Shiva, remember that fight, Lord Shiva wanted to protect his devotee. Who was that? It was the Banasura with the 1,000 hands, 1,100, how many? 1,000 hands. And Lord Krishna had chopped off all his hands, maybe two left. So Banasura was practically finished, was being defeated. But then he prayed to Lord Shiva because he was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. And then Lord Shiva appeared and he threw out his weapon, Shiva Chwara. And Lord Shiva's weapon is very hot. Lord Shiva is the ruling deity of false ego, is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto. So in one way we could say that Lord Shiva is ruling material existence. His Grace Rabindra Swarup Prabhu in one occasion mentioned, he made a comparison, in some ways, although Lord Shiva is a pure devotee of the Lord, in some ways he could be compared to the devil, some scholars, because he behaves in ways which are unusual. He's in the crematorium, the place where there are corpses, and he has garlands of Parvati Devi's skulls. There are some leelas described like that. So it's quite extraordinary, his behavior. And then at the time of the dissolution of the universe, he burns everything to ashes. So he threw out his weapon, the Shiva Shwara, very intense heat. So then the Lord Krishna, he threw his Narayana Chwara weapon, which was a cold weapon. So when we say cold fire, the cold fire of devotional service, so the fire of devotional service can cool down like the benediction moon of the Sankirtan movement. Of course, we do not agree, we do not necessarily agree with the scientist's interpretation that the moonlight is reflected from the sun. But for the sake of the argument, if we take it like that, so the sunlight reflected into the moon and comes to us, and it provides a cooling effect. So it is the same fire, but provides a cooling effect. So the holy name of the Lord, the Sankirtan movement, provides a cooling effect within the heart. And the burning effect of material existence is eliminated. So the idea is that we shouldn't cool down the fire of devotional service by throwing the water of material existence. Or the example given by Hari Bhakti Devidasi, that actually we shouldn't put fuel into the fire of desire. Nikama kama. Here it is described. Nikama kama, Prabhupada translates it as having too many lusty desires for sense enjoyment. So, too many lusty desires. That's the reason why we are here. And that's another reason why the great sages start their teachings by reminding us what we should not do, because we tend to do. What we should not do, that's what we do. Isn't it? This is the rebellious nature of the conditioned soul. Recently we had a teacher training course in Spain, and one of the devotees who was helping with the facilitation of the course, he brought a video in order to discuss values. It was a video of one father who was teaching his son the wrong values in life. And finally, the son killed the father. That was the conclusion. It's a long story. But the fact is that while he was teaching, this was like a film. So the father was teaching him to go on the, prohibited direction, driving, prohibited direction. There is a signal not allowing to drive on that direction, but he was telling him, okay, we're in a hurry, we're taking the child to school, and we'll go by. So the tendency of the embodied soul is to drive on the prohibited direction. And therefore, Maharaj Rishabhadev, Shukadeva Goswami, and all the sages remind us what we should not do in the human form of life. And the positive meaning is tapodi vyam puttakayena sattvam chudyat jasmat brahma saukyam tu anantam. Maharaj Rishabhadev says that we should engage ourselves in tapodi vyam, transcendental austerity, transcendental devotional service, voluntary service for the pleasure of the Lord. As we have to sacrifice, let's sacrifice for something worthy. What is worthy to sacrifice for? We have to sacrifice anyway. So let's do a sacrifice for something which is real. Someone was telling me recently that one of these, I will not say the name, one of these yogis who was claiming to be God, he was producing different products. And say, I know who you are talking about, but okay, I will not say the name. So they were telling me there are many videos in YouTube. If you look for the name of that fellow, I think fraud or something like that, or cheating, you can find videos showing how he was making the magic tricks he was doing. He will produce from, they will give him, someone will come and give something to him, and actually he was keeping it. I have not seen it, I didn't took the trouble to check it into YouTube, but this is what they were saying. He was keeping it somehow, and then he will produce whatever they will, not whatever they will ask, whatever he will have hidden. So they said, one of the arguments, he was producing jewels, but actually they were not real jewels. They were not real gold. Many of them were very cheap products. How you call it in English? Can you please help me? I come fake, no, but the baratijas in Spanish. Very cheap. Imitation, yes. Custom jewelry, thank you. Yes, our English teacher, editor. Custom jewelry, it is. So that was also a proof that he was not real. What type of God is that is giving custom jewelry to his devotees? It's not okay. Probably he will argue that actually he was protecting them from getting too attached. So he was giving them, if he will be challenged, he was giving them this cheap jewelry for the sake of their protection. Right? Yasi hamanugrinami harishetat danam shanai. Krishna says, if I want to give a special mercy to someone, I will take away everything. So he will say, in order to give a special mercy, I will give them only custom jewelry. But anyway, the point is that material sense gratification, nikama kama, this is custom jewelry. This is not real happiness. This is working so hard in order to get only being cheated, paying so much money, so much endeavor, only to get custom jewelry. Like the people who went to Ghana, I have quoted this a couple of times here, I think. People who went to Ghana, devotees, went to Ghana to make business in order to get gold. They will do an investment of one, and they will get 10 in the form of gold. And they will get nothing. They will be cheated. Or they will get a little gold and then nothing. So, similarly, we work so hard in materialistic existence just to get custom jewelry. And therefore it is mentioned here, Ananta Dukkam Chanaveda Muddha, only a fool will allow himself to be cheated in this way. Muddha. In what way? Ananta Dukkam. He will pay so much endeavor, work so hard, only to get Ananta Dukkam, unlimited suffering. Whereas a devotee will get the Bodhi Bhyam, he will pay also some price, some sacrifices there, Tapo Dibyan, but a good payment, transcendental payment, divine service, voluntary service for the pleasure of the Lord. Should yet, and the result will be, should yet yasmat Brahma Saukyam to Anantam. Ananta, Brahma Saukyam Anantam. Here is Ananta Dukkam, unlimited suffering, as opposed to Brahma Saukyam to Anantam, unlimited happiness of the soul. So we should, these are the teachings Maharishi Sabadev is giving us, to remind us, okay, pay the price, but pay the price properly. Do not forget that material sense gratification only brings one to suffering. Ultimately, we are going to die. Actually, in the beginning, I didn't say it, but I was thinking to, in some way, although I didn't have a close association with His Grace Gopi Paranadana Prabhu, who left this world yesterday in the most sacred abode of the Lord in Govardhan. Actually, practically after Sri Radha Kund, this most dear place of the Lord. And Sri Radha Kund is described as being situated at Govardhan, so in one way there is no difference. So, Gopi Paranadana Prabhu, my association with him has been mainly through reading his translations, his excellent translations, sweet translations of Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita. He presents Krishna consciousness in such a the message of Sri Sanatana Goswami in such a culture language that any person, culture and yet anyone can read it and understand it. So it's a very clear translation. English is not my mother tongue, but I was very, very impressed and very pleased to read it. And yesterday when I read the announcement that some of you must have read in Dandavats, what Shruta Kirti Prabhu wrote, I was very impressed by the message that Gopi Paranadana Prabhu had in, on a frame picture. I don't know exactly the details, what type of picture, but it was a frame picture, which means it was something dear to him. Otherwise, if it is not dear, you don't frame it, isn't it? You may write a note for a few days, but if it is framed, it means it is like a mission statement for you. So somehow that seems to be at least one of his mission statements. I don't know the reference, I don't know if he coined himself, or if he got it from some acharya, or I don't know that quote. It is no author is mentioned, but I'm going to read it. Because actually, it is the mission statement of a devotee who has dedicated his life in a glorious way to serve the Lord and to serve the devotees of the Lord. And the Lord, being pleased with him, has called him back. In his most dear abode, where this devotee was based, where this devotee was serving. He was traveling, he was back, coming back from Poland, and on his way to China. And just there, the Lord called him back. He said, okay, you did enough, come back. So, we also may be called back by the Lord at any time. We all, every human being is meant to be called back. Either called back by the Lord, devotees are called back by the Lord. Devotees are Krishnaika Sharana. The constitutional quality of a devotee is that he has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Even a neophyte devotee is Krishnaika Sharana, has taken shelter of the Lord. Therefore, he is under the control of the Lord, direct control of the Lord. Non-devotees are also under the control of the Lord, but in an indirect way, which means they are under the control of material nature. Mayati akshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. A material nature works under Krishna's control. So, everyone is going to be called anytime. Therefore, human life should not be wasted. Human energy should be utilized in a very careful, conscious manner. And Gopi Paranadana Prabhu has been a great example of this by offering so many wonderful translations of the commentaries of the acharyas to the Bhagavatam, 11th and 12th canto, being part, actually, he was, I think, the Sanskrit editor. His Holiness Hridayananda Goswami Maharaj was the translator, but he was the editor. He was a key person in the process of providing the 11th and the 12th canto. And then the translations for the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. I know he has produced other translations. I don't know where he was at. I know he was working on Sandarbhas, as far as I know. I don't know exactly. But he was working on other projects. And his whole life dedicated to the service of the Lord and the devotees in the most sacred place. When we look at his biography, probably he approved this. This was described in a very nice way. And then at the end mentions, okay, I will read it. This is how it has been posted. Gopi Paranadana Das was a scholar of Sanskrit and a practicing ISKCON devotee, born in 1950, only 61 years old, in New York City. He received his BA in linguistics from Columbia University in 1972 and was initiated by Srila Prabhupada in 1973. Under Srila Prabhupada's guidance, Gopi Paranadana developed an expertise in Sanskrit and served as an editor for the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, BBT. After Srila Prabhupada passed away, Gopi Paranadana helped complete the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mukunda Mala Stotra, and Narada Bhakti Sutra. He continues to translate Gaudiya Vaishnava literature from Sanskrit, and he is also training editors and translators from the BBT. He has worked on the BBT production of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. He lived in India with his wife, his son, and two cows. I like this end, very personal end, meaning to serve the Lord and the devotees, it is not necessary to be a monk. Anyone can serve the Lord and the devotees and give his life to the service of the Lord in a selfless manner with his wife, son, and two cows. So I found that a very personal description, and representing also how he was serving the Lord in a very natural way, in according to his vocation, to his natural tendency, and yet fully dedicated to the service of the Lord and the devotees. And to end, he wrote in the picture, with a frame picture, he wrote the following: "Do not hear from mouths of persons lacking proper conduct. If your conduct is below par, you should not publicly preach about the Lord. Close the door and preach to yourself. Bhajan really begins when one's outside and inside are the same." It's a very profound statement, isn't it? Again, do not hear from mouths of persons lacking proper conduct. If your conduct is below par, you should not publicly preach about the Lord. Close the door and preach to yourself. Bhajan really begins when one's outside and inside are the same. So he makes a very profound statement to help. He was using it himself. And he's helping in this way, by now we have the statement, he's helping us to also develop the integrity of a devotee. Integrity of a devotee means to serve Krishna the same from inside than from outside. Any comments or questions? How an envious person, how the envious person can be make progress? One formula will be to serve those to whom we envy, seeing that the Lord is residing within the heart of that person, according to the situation, but to offer some service to that person to whom we envy, seeing the Lord within the heart of the person. That will be one formula. It's a very practical formula. If I envy somebody, instead of just fighting in the mind, he's good and he's not, the mind says something, criticizes that person, right? Why that person is doing that, we are judging all the motivations, and of course we are acknowledging the wrong motivations that person has, right? And we are correcting that person from within our mind. But instead of trying to fight in the mind, just arguing, as Srila Prabhupada explains, devotional service is practical. We should do something practical. And that means we go to the person and we serve the person. When Gadadhar Pandit Goswami realized that he had committed an offense against Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who apparently seemed a materialistic person, and then when he saw that he was actually an advanced devotee, he took shelter of him and he became his disciple. So by serving those persons to whom we envy, then we become free from envy. Yes, but having something may mean something tangible. It can be something intangible. It can be something also subtle. So it can be that the person has more material possessions that they have, but can be also position, can be the person has privileges that they don't have. Could be even in, within the community, little privileges. Could be whatever, something that the person has that they don't have, and instead of appreciating that Krishna is giving mercy to that person, instead I envy the person and say, why he has, he does not deserve it, I do deserve it. And then we start criticizing the person. The effect of the envy is we criticize. Also the Bhagavatam here describes the characteristic of materialistic society. When we focus on sense gratification as the goal of life, the inevitable result is envy. We cannot avoid it, to compare ourselves to others. And therefore, here mentions, Anyonya Vaira, Sukkalesha Hetur. These materialistic people create a society where there is envy to each other. The Bhagavatam, in the beginning of the second canto, also Shukadeva Goswami describes Griheshu Grihamedinam. Also, envying, the intelligence is focused on Griha. On Griha means on the material possessions, on the material body. Material body is the first Griha, the first home. Griha means home. Then the second home is the family home, right? We have many homes. So to envy, to compare ourselves, our body, our family, to others. And then envying those who have more than I have. In the case of a Madhyamadikari, that may happen. In the case of a Mahabhagavat, very, very advanced devotee, then he will not be affected. He will see only the soul and the super soul. So he will not identify, at the very least, with the envy of the person. But in the case of the Madhyamadikari, in order to protect himself from the risk of becoming entangled in the attitudes, the materialistic attitudes and actions of envious people, he will keep certain healthy distance. Like in the forest, there are places where there are many forest fires. They make this, they cut trees, and there is like a, I don't know the English word actually, so if someone knows, can you please help me? Firebreaker, that's firebreaker, thank you. So this firebreaker path is the it is made to protect from the fire from another tree moving to the next tree. So we should have our firebreakers also from envious people when necessary. There may be, sometimes we may think we are not envious, there may be some, many times criticism is connected to envy. Can be gross or subtle, so there may be also some subtle envy sometimes. When we criticize someone, there are some psychologists who analyze this as, I think it's transpersonal psychology, we see in others. Sometimes we don't like something in another person, and this is due to the fact that we have the same that they don't like in that person. I have it. So we should look at ourselves, see that person as my mirror, and then say, okay, what do I not like about me? What do I need to work on? Of course, there may be some criticism, some positive criticism for the service of the Lord in improving the service. And that may be authorized when done according to Vaishnava behavior, according to Vaishnava culture, with proper respect and acknowledging the position of the persons involved and so on. I will stop here. Thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.